back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here. But this week, not joined by Matt Mastrogiovanni. I am joined by good friend of the podcast, Matthew Hoagland, as known as Podstreet Codes on the good old Bird app. Hoagie, thanks for hopping on this week. How are you doing?
Great. How are you doing, Dave? It's been a while.
Yeah, hanging in there. You know how life goes. So
hey, one day at a time. I know life better than anybody right now.
Yes, you do. So tonight is a special podcast for all of our listeners. It's kind of a 5-Minute Major Podstreet Bullies crossover episode. Derek might also be joining us from the Podstreet Bullies. So who knows if he shows up? Cool. If he doesn't, oh well, just me and Hoagie this evening. Masher is away attending a work conference. So that is why Hoagie is filling in for him this week. But we do have a doozy for podcast this evening. There's some couple things to touch on. Of course, for those who listen to the Podstreet Bullies podcast this week, some of this they've already addressed. But since we have not been with you since over a week now, there are a couple things we do need to talk about. Starting off this week, of course, this is going to be a very Flyers-centric podcast. We're the most heavily Flyers-centric podcast we had in a couple weeks. But Flyers, we can review here. Three games that we need to discuss, some better than others. The Flyers, of course, after getting off the schneid from that loss of the same series last week, they beat the Chicago Blackhawks. Matt and I addressed that on the podcast last week. But then they headed into a really big weekend, Hoagie, where they were playing two division rivals in one of the New York Rangers. That was a huge, metric, a balls test almost, per se. Even though Tortorella race, the team does have balls. But it was right. We last played this team on Black Friday when we were a different spot. Now, here we are in late February. How do things compare? They lose that game 2-1. Kind of got goalied. Shesterkin was phenomenal in net. The Flyers just can't seem to beat him. And, of course, Rangers fans, kind of invaded the Wells Fargo Center again. I heard it was a little bit more of an even split between Philly and Rangers fans, but still.
Still sounded as loud.
Yeah, still too many in the building for my liking. Yeah. I know, Hoagie, you had thoughts on that over the weekend on Twitter.
I did.
but they follow up that 2-1 loss. They go into Sunday's game in a absolute barn burner against the Pittsburgh Penguins, where the Flyers lose 7-6, a game in which the Flyers could have potentially buried the Penguins and ruined their playoff chances. But with the Penguins getting the victory, that they are still in the mix, per se.
In the hunt.
in the hunt, I guess. But it's still a disappointing time to lose to any of your cross-state rivals. And that, of course, did finish off the season series for the two teams. They both went, I believe, 2-0-2 against each other.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think it was an even split. Yeah. And, of course, then just this past Tuesday evening, the Flyers, a game in which that was very interesting due to a partial power outage in which some electricity was lost, which is funny against the Lightning, but a 6-2 victory over, one of the powerhouses in the Eastern Conference, having a bit of a down year this year, which was kind of be expected with all their injuries. But all in all, a solid victory, Hoagie. I'll give you the mic here first. What have been your thoughts here on these past couple games?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, going into last weekend with the Rangers and the Penguins, crucial points on the board were left there. I was hoping they would come out with at least 2 points. I didn't care how they got them, if it was an overtime loss against the Rangers and the Penguins, if it was just one win, just something. I wanted something out of both games. Mm-hmm. That Rangers game was just very frustrating because the Flyers were knocking on the door the entire time. And like you said, Shesterkin really shut the door on us, and it really pisses us off because we're in a group chat with a Rangers fan. Not going to mention his name because he doesn't deserve it.
I'm pretty sure he is subscribed to the pod, so he listens.
I don't care. I doubt he listens.
Then we'll just call him out in the group chat.
right. But, I mean, it's just frustrating when we have to go through that from him, because now we're 0-2 against him this season. I think we still play him again two more times coming down into April.
I can confirm that.
Yeah. We have a pretty rough schedule. We were looking at it last week. with the Penguins game, excuse me. I honestly didn't watch it. I was at a college championship game for one of my former players. They got the dub. It was exciting. I was pumped as a former coach. Go Penn State Harrisburg. Not a big deal.
We are.
but, I mean, with the Penguins game, Cal Peterson should have just been shot to the moon. Like, I can't believe there was 13 goals between both teams. It kind of took me back to, like, the 2012-2013 Penguins Flyers rivals. I was like, what is happening? And it seemed like it still had that intensity, like those games too, with rough hits and stuff like that. Like Drysdale got hit right and he left that game, and now he's week to week. So that puts a blunder on the Flyers.
He just
actually got
put on injured reserve today.
Injured reserve, exactly. Yep. The Lightning game, like you said, weird game with the power going out. There was a very long pause. They didn't know what to do, and I'm glad they said play, because it didn't really seem to affect either team. Everybody said, oh, you know, it'll be a big thing on the goalies. I was like, there's more light down on the ice than there is in the stands. Like we don't need those lights. We need the lights on the ice. And both goalies played phenomenal. Flyers were just able to, you know, finally solved the puzzle with Vasilevskiy, and they won a pretty convincing win. It was frustrating to watch them, you know, pull the goalie in the third period with like 8 minutes left and the Flyers not be able to score. That was very frustrating to watch. I was like, and I tweeted it out during the game, because Cooper is first ballot Hall of Fame once he retires.
Oh, 100%.
Right? Like, he's a great coach. He does his homework. He obviously knew that the Flyers were not good when the goalie is pulled for the opposing team, because they're not. They don't score empty net goals. And for him to have the balls to pull the goalie that early, they scored on one of them. Good for them. Awesome. But I was like, for him to continuously do this with this much time left on the clock is ballsy. And I applaud him because he has that. You know, he's that good of a coach that he knows.
It shows how much faith he has in his players, too.
That, too. Yeah, exactly. But he knows that the Flyers aren't that good of a team to, you know, get out of the zone and actually make a play on the empty net. So it's good that we got that win over the Lightning, because I think we still have them once or twice towards the end of the year. Check me on that. I think it's once.
Yeah, we do have the Rangers twice. We have the Rangers in like a month from today. End of March, and then we play them again on April 11th. So,
and then
twice
the
there,
somewhere sprinkled
the
in there.
Lightning,
they're sprinkled in there with.
We
the
play them literally next weekend, March 9th, exactly. In Tampa, so, and that's the last time we play them this season.
Yep. So it gives me a little faith coming into, you know, towards the end of the season, because we have a lot of powerhouse teams, and it's time to flip the switch. They're in a good spot. I think their chance of making the playoffs now is 70% or something like that. Like I'm feeling really good. It's time to start burying the teams, and a lot of these Eastern Conference games are going to be crucial coming down the pipe.
And there's a lot of divisional games too, which are those. Might as well treat them as those as like 4-point games.
Exactly, because they could be. They could be like 4-point swings. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, for my thoughts here, Hoagie, on these past couple of games, like you said, the Rangers game, they got goalied. Just we can't seem to beat the Rangers anymore. They've had our number for the past couple of seasons. It's very frustrating. But
after that 8-0 loss during a COVID year, I just I try to just look past the Rangers at this point.
But they're like the benchmark. They have now been the best team consistently for the past three seasons in the Metropolitan Division. So whenever the Flyers play the Rangers, I view that as a key test. Yep. So it's that those future games against them are going to be important, because if they stay where they are, or if they fall into a wild card spot, that could be who we get first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, so that'll be scary.
I don't know how I feel about that. But then, man, the Penguins game was just this past weekend. Honestly, if I think if they had any other goalie in net, they get a win.
Yeah.
Like, I have not – luckily, the Flyers this season, I have not screamed at my television very often this season, which is a good thing, you know, for my heart, my blood pressure, et cetera. But literally this Sunday, I was screaming at the TV to tell Cal Peterson to make a fucking save. And there's one F-bomb for the episode.
Yeah, part of the language.
I was joking. I was like, oh my God, like, I feel like our beer league goalies can make better saves than this. Like, he's not on a couple of the goals. He wasn't getting square the shooter, and the Penguins were just, and he was giving them everything. It's just like, okay, well, you know, he's not going up against the pipe all the way, so let's just shoot it off his shoulder and in. And it's like, dude, come on. And I was wondering at one point if, you know, Torts would have just said, I can't have this continue. I need to pull him and put Erson in. But Erson really did have a battled game against the Rangers on Saturday. So I get him getting the rest. But man, I mean, Tristan Jarry was just as bad for the Penguins.
Right. Pick your poison.
it's 13 goals. And what's also disappointing is the Flyers, besides now at the time, had only scored six goals in two games, including that one, and they were 1-1. And of course, they scored six against the Tampa Bay Lightning, but two of those were empty netters. But still, at the time, like, with the way this team is and with how they're scoring, and the fact that Travis Konecny is still currently and was out of the lineup, if you score six goals, you need to win that hockey game,
right? Absolutely.
And they just didn't, and it was straight up on the goalie. I thought the players in front of him played perfectly fine. There was one problem only, and that was Cal Peterson. Now, there was, of course, TK not being in the game. Risto's still on injured reserve, I believe, as well. And then you get Drysdale knocked out of the game.
Yep.
Injures his shoulder. That it's not the same shoulder that he had surgery on last season, I believe, which is... Thank God. Thank the hockey gods there.
Yeah.
But so he's a big loss on this blue line for the foreseeable future. And you just feel bad for the kid. It's like right when he was starting to fit in and mold well and getting more and more used to our systems, now he's hurt.
Yeah.
The Flyers do, you know, from rumblings from Elliot Friedman, they hope he can return this season, which would be great. But if he misses, honestly, if it's something where it's long term and he needs surgery or something, I'd rather have it get it done ASAP so that way he can start the rehab process sooner and come back sooner next season. Yep. But then moving on from that Pittsburgh game, of course, we go to the victory against the Tampa Bay Lightning just this past Tuesday. You know, I was watching the first 40 minutes of this hockey game, and you know, I was watching it when it was, I believe it was 2-1 Flyers or 1-1 Flyers when I had to walk into the rink for beer league. And I was kind of like, all right, well, they're hanging with Tampa. They're playing well. But let's see what happens in the third period. Got back to the locker room after my beer league game, which didn't go so well. and was like, boys, what was the Flyers score? And 6-2. And I was like, oh, wow. Made sure I went home, watched the highlights first thing I did. And it was really impressive. You know, Tyson Forrester, I think, came out and he helped set the tone. So did Bobby Brink with his opening goal of the game. But yep. Forrester's goal was really, really nice. And a nice way to start off that third period with an early goal. And then they just kind of didn't, you know, they didn't look back, and they got the solid dub against a very good team. And it was a very important win because at the time, both New Jersey and Pittsburgh also did win. So taking a real quick look at the standings here, Hoagie, you know, with those victories, the Flyers still do have a bit of a cushion on teams below them. They're 31-22-7. With 69 nice points on the season in 60 games played. Of course, right on their heels, though, are the New Jersey Devils with 64 points, the Washington Capitals now, who have entered the mix again, at 63 points, and the Penguins with 62 points. And this weekend, Hoags, coming up is very, very important because tomorrow night, Friday evening, you play in D.C.
Washington.
The Washington Capitals.
Yep.
And that's a huge game. And if the Flyers drop that game in regulation, that's going to get Washington even more. Like, they're really, really back in the mix. And then Saturday, right, Claude Giroux comes back to town with the terrible Ottawa Senators. So you'll get these two next games coming up here just this weekend. If they can get two victories, it does some really nice things for them going forward.
Start to roll. It's what they're going to need. I hope they go into – I feel like we haven't even really played Washington this year. Have we?
We played them in December, earlier in December.
Okay.
And that was a shootout victory.
Okay. It's been so long. Like, I feel like the Capitals have not been – they just haven't been relevant this season, mainly because Ovechkin's not really, you know, scoring and they're not doing much for me. So – the Flyers definitely have to come into this and just show them who's boss. It'll be interesting to see who they start and who they sit, or not who they start each game with the back-to-back.
They're
both kind of, you know, sure wins, but I honestly, I'm just going to say Sandstrom. Not saying Sandstrom first. I'm going Ersson first, Sandstrom second.
That's what I was saying. I would say,
yeah.
I would say you play Ersson in the divisional game, and then you put Sandstrom up against the really crappy Ottawa Senators.
Right. I was mainly thinking Ersson against the Senators just because, you know, it's Claude Giroux. He loves coming home and putting on a show in front of Philly, and he's done it the past couple of times. So I hope Sandstrom is up to the task. I don't really know his numbers. You probably do. We're going to touch on it a little later. Mm-hmm. But – I think, yeah, Ersson, Sandstrom, and we roll with it. And yeah, hopefully come away with 2 points at least is huge.
You need one victory this weekend for sure. And ideally, yeah, I will be disappointed if they don't win both, because these are two very winnable hockey games this weekend.
Especially for this Flyers team that has played some, I'm not going to say dominating hockey, but pretty convincing hockey that they can take over games. And it's huge for us for this weekend for the playoff push, because honestly, I'm confident that they're going to stay in that third Metro spot no matter what. Because even the loss to the Devils during the Stadium Series game, I was like, yeah, that's crucial right there, but there's still a lot of hockey left to play, and we still have a pretty good cushion on the rest of the Metro. So
yep,
I'm comfortable with where we're at and where we're headed.
Yeah, I don't see them falling into a wild card. I think those two wild card slots are going to stick with two of the Atlantic teams, because that division is just so
the Atlantic division is kind of like the Metro of like the past 4 or 5 years, where everybody was vying for a spot, and now the Atlantic division kind of got old and everybody's aging, and now the Metro has gotten younger and younger and better.
Yeah, and the Atlantic division, you've got Florida and Boston are tied with 82 points. Toronto is in third with 74 points. Detroit, wild card 1, 72 points. Tampa Bay, wild card 2 with 69 points.
Hey.
So that is – it's anybody's race. I mean, right, really, I mean, I don't see – Toronto, Detroit, or Tampa, they're not going to catch Boston or Florida.
Nope.
But really, anywhere from slot 3 to wild card 1 and 2 can be any mixture of Toronto, Detroit, or Tampa.
Yeah,
it's insane.
And we have Boston twice, I think, and we have Toronto two more times or something stupid like that.
Yeah, looking ahead, the month of March,
it's rough.
Washington, Ottawa, St. Louis, Florida, Tampa, San Jose, Toronto, Boston, Toronto. Well, that's a brutal three-game stretch.
Yep.
Carolina, Boston, Florida.
Yep.
Oh my goodness, the back half of March. Toronto, Boston, Toronto, Carolina, Boston, Florida, which is a back-to-back, by the way. New York, Montreal, Chicago.
It's going to be rough.
The beginning and the end of the March, you're like, okay, those are the winnable games. That middle stretch right there for those middle 3 weeks of the month, that's a gauntlet. And that's going to determine what they do.
it's going to be like that gauntlet leading up to the All-Star break, where it was just team was dog tired and they just needed to get through it. And I'm hoping that All-Star break and vacation has these guys ready to roll for the rest, because this is going to be a gauntlet leading right up to the playoffs. And I'm so happy we're talking about playoffs, because this team is in what they call a rebuild.
Yes, we are still rebuilding, Charlie. With that being said, though, Matt, you did give me kind of a nice segue with mentioning Felix Sandstrom. That being said, Cal Peterson, see you later. I wish you would have been left on the curb in Pittsburgh, but instead you're going back to Allentown with the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. News also of Drysdale going to IR, the Flyers also called up Ronnie Adder to fill in for a spot on defense. Cal Peterson, shame what happened to him, because at one point he looked like he was LA's heir apparent to replace Jonathan Quick in net, and they reward him with a really good, nice bridge deal. Had a really solid season, and just ever since he signed that big ticket, he hasn't been the same goalie. And he's just not an NHL viable option right now. That being said, the player who they're calling up to replace him right now is Felix Sandstrom, who has a .323 goals against average and an .882 save percentage. He does have a winning record, though. He's 11-6-2 with the Phantoms this year. But this is kind of a, who's going to, Cal, you had your shot. You dropped the ball. Felix, it's now yours.
Right.
But Ronnie Adder coming up. He's probably earned a call-up for a while now, just the Flyers haven't had the space on the roster. In 46 games played with the Phantoms this year, he's got 10 goals, 15 assists for 25 points and 37 penalty minutes. He's having overall in 114 games played in the American Hockey League these past two seasons. He's got 57 points for a defenseman, and he's a plus 12. He's been a fairly solid, he was mainly an offensive defenseman at Western Michigan with good buddy. Why am I blanking?
Good buddy.
He's on the Flyers. He's with the Phantoms. Wade Allison. They're like best friends. They play college hockey together. I had a brain fart there for a second.
It's because everybody's forgotten about Wade Allison.
Because he's fallen off a cliff. And we can move on from Wade Allison. But Ronnie Adder in college was more of an offensive-minded defenseman. He came with a pro. Now he's approached more of that two-way game, focusing more on his physicality. Been really well. I'm excited to see him in the lineup. That being said, Hoagie, what are your thoughts here on one Adder and Sandstrom being called up, as well as Kyle Peterson being dropped down?
Yeah, so I'm going to start with the goalies, because
the biggest issue.
It's the biggest issue, and it's always a big issue with the goddamn Philadelphia Flyers. Goddamn curse, man. I'm so tired of this. But it's going to be rough. We have a very rough March, like we just discussed. And Meltzer tweeted out today, Tortorella thinks backup goalie will be needed to start at least around five games, with the remaining 22. So Urson's getting about 17. That's a lot of games to really put on Sam Urson as a rookie in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And I think that it might be putting him around 50 games, if I'm not mistaken. We were talking about it in another chat today, and I was glancing as I was working as well, but I feel like they're going to ride the hot hand regardless, and Urson has been that hot hand. He was phenomenal in February, and he keeps playing very well against these top tier teams.
He's played 33 games, by the way, this season so far.
33. So if he gets another 22, it's 50 plus. That's a lot to ask of a freaking rookie goaltender who has just made this transition. And I know everybody had their doubts. It was a short time span last year with his spurt, but he looked good then, and he's proved everyone wrong ever since his first couple games back in September. Thank God, because I knew he was a good goaltender, but for him to put up some of these saves and some of these numbers against some of these top teams, it's just refreshing to see after, the news of who must not be named. it's huge for the crease. It's huge for Sandstrom to come up. We know what we have with Sandstrom. We're not going to be asking him to step right into that, 1B situation. He's going to be a bona fide starter now, You know what I mean? So I'm excited for that. Ronnie Adder, like you said, it's been a long time coming. He's everybody thought he had a chance to make it out of camp. He's Tortorella apparently is huge on this kid, which is makes me surprised because I'm not too huge on him. I don't know why. Like I like his play, but I just don't know. He's not flashy enough for me. But it'll be interesting to see what these lineups are. I think we're gonna go back to Torts' traditional 11-7 again. Ugh. Because
can I roll my eyes any harder?
Yeah, right. I know it's tough, but you're not just gonna throw out a rookie defenseman and roll 12-6. You know what I mean? Especially with this current stand that we have against some of these top tier teams. I feel like, you know, Mark Stahl is not going to get a look, even though he should be shot into the ground.
Traded next Friday. He needs to be one of the ones traded.
I hope so. Or just, you know, contract termination or something. Oh my God. I just can't watch him play anymore. But I think Adder's huge, and hopefully he gets some very important minutes for his development. And I think that's where the 11-7 comes in, where, you know, you're not just throwing them to the Wolves and also asking Cam York and Travis Sanheim to pick up 25 minutes a night. You know what I mean? Like, they're on to make this work and make it mesh so that they're not burning out these young kids. And I'm excited for it.
Yeah, no, it's very key. You know, obviously Cal Peterson, Hoagie, we've already addressed on it, just hasn't been good. He's kind of wasn't very good with the Phantoms at all this year either. And then he, you know, when he first got called up after He Who Must Not Be Named left the Flyers, he had a couple good games and you're like, okay, maybe it's just a thing where, you know, goalies are weird. And oftentimes some goalies find the NHL easier than the minor leagues. Maybe that's the case for Cal. And then, no, very quickly we learned that was not the case. So he is where he is. And we have one more year of him on the books at $5 million per. Luckily with him being in the minors, there is some cap relief. But, man, I think you just have to tough it out and you bury him in the minors next season and hope maybe he gets claimed by some team who's desperate next season. But that is what it is.
Not with his cap hit.
No, it's way too high. Felix Sandstrom, I feel like Felix needs to look at it this way. The Flyers probably had their thoughts about moving on from him after this season because he is a unrestricted free agent. Or is he restricted? Hold on. I've kept Friendly up. He's a UFA. He's an unrestricted free agent come this offseason, once this season ends. So the Flyers are probably ready to move on from him. But if he comes up, this could if not save his career with the Flyers, it could save his NHL career with another team.
Right.
Because the Flyers kind of do have a long jam with goalie, with Kolosov coming over, and a couple of our other draft picks that we've made over the past couple of years. So is there really a slot for him in the organization? So if he comes up and plays well and proves to people, hey, I still have it. I still have a future in North America. This will benefit the Flyers, and it'll benefit him. So it's very, very huge. It's very, very important. Now, that being said, Matt, if we see Sandstrom getting a couple games here, we expect him to get into one game this weekend. Maybe he gets another one next week. And if he's struggling, the trade deadline is next Friday, March 8th. And I'm personally of the ilk that if you're making the playoffs this year, I don't think giving up an asset, being a fifth, a sixth round pick, maybe in a fourth round pick, to trade for a goalie that's established to go with Erickson, such a bad idea. Because if you keep Felix up here the rest of the season, and it's Felix and Sam, that's your tandem, with clearly Erickson, Sam being the starter. If you throw Sandstrom out there just to give Sam some nights off, but it's a loss, those losses are detrimental. They are huge. And I feel like, you know, we are rebuilding and we might be overperforming to a lot of the metrics and a lot of the fans and a lot of the media's thoughts on the Flyers this year. But at this point where they've held in the playoffs for so long, if they were to collapse and then not make it, I feel like that would just really, really hurt the overall vibes, not only for the team, but the fan base temporarily. Most of the fans would be like, you know what? Year one of rebuild, they were in the picture for the majority of the season. Then at the end, they just tailed off. Me personally, I would like to see them make a run, qualify for the playoffs, get in there, because hockey is a weird sport. Usually it's the hottest teams going in that go on a run and go somewhere. Mm-hmm. With the Flyers, if they can get healthy with some of the talent they have, and if Erickson goes on if Erickson all of a sudden, you know, becomes, you know, what I think he can be, and he goes on a hot tear, who knows? I mean, the Flyers went to the Stanley Cup on the heels of Michael Leighton and Brian Boucher. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. So this is a very, very key stretch. So if Sandstrom is struggling, you need to bring in another asset, because you need to try and make the playoffs this season. And I've listened to other podcasts, one of them being mainly the PHLY podcast. I know it's not some of your favorite people, Hoagie, because they are ex-Broad Street Hockey folks.
Not going there.
But they addressed on their recent podcast that you can't trade an asset away to bring in a veteran goalie. And I 100 wholeheartedly percent disagree with that statement right there. If you're trying, I know we're rebuilding, but if you're going to make the playoffs, you need to have a veteran solid goalie to go with Sam. So that's my thoughts on that matter. Do you have any thoughts? I know there's the UFA. We're not going to go over the UFAs because I don't think we're going to have time for that tonight.
Right. Yeah.
But there's a pretty good, the UFA class of goalies for veterans to go with Sam Harrison are, there's some pretty good names there.
I'm sure there are. I mean, I hate to freaking say this. I kind of agree with those other guys, that other platform.
Oh my God. Has hell frozen over?
I mean, I see where they're coming from. You can't trade an asset. I mean, yeah, maybe a fourth, fifth round pick makes sense because it's so far.
I'm not talking a third or up. I'm talking fourth, fifth or round, sixth round pick.
Fifth, sixth. Yeah, it makes sense. Maybe a reclamation project of a prospect, maybe. I just don't see Danny Briere entertaining the idea. And I said this last week on Pot Street Bullies. I don't see him entertaining the idea of bringing in a veteran goalie because we're in that rebuild and we're being patient. And Danny Briere, Keith Jones, Tortorella, Dan Hilferty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They've all said, we've got to be patient. We're going to do this right. And they're not going to jump at every little, you know, fancy little silver shiny thing. And I think it's smart. You know, you play with what you have, you see what you have for the future. And if they outperform like a lot of these people are, a lot of these guys are, you know, it's trade bait for another team. It's signing bait for another team to open up a roster spot for the offseason. So yeah, I agree. You roll with it, Erson and Sandstrom. Who cares at this point? We're overperforming. Yes, we're in this rebuild, and you know it's playoffs. We're not even supposed to make it to playoffs, or even be in a third place spot in the Metro. I had them gauging in like you know playing with the freaking the wild card all season. Mm-hmm. Even before the season, I said wild card team, wild card team, wild card team. A goalie. A veteran goalie is not going to change the dynamic of this team. I'd rather see two dynamic kids battle it out and show the NHL what they have.
Ideally, that's the ideal scenario, is that Felix steps in and he kind of saves his career here in North America. Because the way it's going, he's probably going to be back over in Sweden, honestly, playing in the SHL or even the KHL. Then that's fine for him, but I didn't mean – North America is still the best hockey league. The NHL, North America hockey, is the best pro hockey league in the entire world. So obviously you would think that's where he'd want to stay. Ideally, he runs with it. Maybe he saves light with the Flyers and with his career. But we'll see what happens from there. Addard, obviously, got some time in last year and a couple games of the year prior when he signed with the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's not going to be a top pairing defenseman whenever he's finished. You know, ideally, if he makes the Flyers, he's probably his high ceiling is a solid number four.
Yep.
But ideally, he's a bottom pairing right-handed defenseman that's got a good two-way game, block shots, kills penalties, can feel it on your power play if need be.
Right.
And that's kind of where he's at. And also, you know, right-hand defensemen are a commodity. The Flyers seem to be having a nice little
gathering flush with right-handers. Yeah.
I mean, you add in Belpedio, Addard, Helga Granz, who they got in the Provorov deal from L.A., and of course, then you add that in now with Drysdale, with Ristolainen, and with Sean Walker. So there's a good chunk of things here that's working for them. But going from there on the goalie talk there and the Peterson scenario, et cetera, here, Hoagie, there are some interesting quotes made this morning. Now, interesting is all in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
This, of course, caused Flyers Twitter to freak out. I informed you of it before we recorded this evening.
I saw some things, and I didn't pay any attention to it because, you know, I've been busy.
Yes, you are a very busy man right now. But Keith Jones went on his old radio show, WIP, in the mornings, and they were talking about the Flyers. And he said, hey, listen, we're saying one thing to everyone as far as our messaging that we're rebuilding, but we've made sure to tell everyone on the team that's BS. So that tweet gets out there. The whole entire Flyers Twitter, a good chunk of it, freaks out, saying, oh my God, we are telling everyone else that you're rebuilding, but then you're telling the team that no, we're not. It's a very black and white situation. For those hockey fans who think rational, what Jones is saying is, hey, listen, we're rebuilding, but we're telling the players that are here, you need to go balls to the wall and give your hardest and try your damnedest every single night, or else, since we're rebuilding, we'll ship your ass out of town. And that's kind of what he alluded to. Charlie O'Connor, of course, being, you know, the good beat that he is, reached out to Jonesy and it got a direct quote saying, I was just kidding around, and that he, quote, slipped back into radio banter. So to me, Hoagie, this quote is a whole big nothing burger, but kind of the doom and gloomers on Flyers Twitter took it and ran with it.
Of course they did. And because the doomers and gloomers, that's what they survive on. I'm not going to even name names because we all know who they are. It's just, they just feed from it and they just spew it out to the rest of it. And it honestly drives me crazy. I'm kind of glad I didn't see that this morning because I probably would have went off for some stupid reason. Who knows?
Go on a Twitter rant? Never.
Never. No.
Never.
Me be nice.
You've never done it. You're always so level-headed on the Bird app, you know?
Yeah, the Bird app. And like you said, Torts, I have praised the regime of Torts, Briere, Jonesy, Hilferty, ever since last year's press conference in the offseason. We're going to be patient. We're in a rebuild. We are being upfront with everybody.
We're doing this the right way.
We're doing this the right way. We're doing this the Philadelphia way. The way that they know how to do this, especially the likes of Briere and Jonesy, because they are old school Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many times I've had to say it over the past probably 9 months at this point, but this is the way it's going to be. And we kind of saw it with like a Cutter Gauthier type of thing. If you don't want to play here, you're not going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they're instilling in this team is you're going to be a family. You're going to play your freaking balls off. And if we're winning, we're winning. If we're losing, we're losing. We're doing it together. Like you said, we're in a rebuild. If you want to accept that, if you don't want to accept that, whatever. But you're going to be here for a job, and you're going to do your job. And I think they've instilled that into this team to where they are playing better than everyone expected. But, I mean, there's also other factors with, you know, Couturier and other people coming back from injury, which is helpful. But just having that camaraderie and that family within the locker room is huge, and it's the culture, right? This is what they've been talking about all season long. It's the culture.
The new era of orange.
It's the new era of orange. It's the culture that they're building from within. And once they build that from within, it's going to, you know, bring the fans back as well. It's starting to bring the fans back. And I can't believe I You brought this up earlier on the pod with the Rangers game. I can't believe I had to have this fight where I'm like, I can't believe that the Rangers fans are still, you know, pouring into the Wells Fargo Center where when this team is playing good. And, like, everybody's like, well, you know, if they lowered prices, bullshit if they lowered prices.
But like even the resale market, I looked into going to the game last week in Hoagie, and resale tickets were $150 per before fees.
Right. But like still,
and I see both sides of the argument.
I absolutely see both sides. But like I said, who cares? It's a divisional matchup against the Rangers, one of the best teams in the league, on a Saturday afternoon at 3:30. Right? It was a 3 o'clock game or something like that?
It was a 3 o'clock game, yeah.
You're right. Nationally broadcast, like, of course it's going to be that expensive. Like, what are you thinking? And this is coming from me where I lived in Boston for the past 5 years, and that's just standard pricing every night in, night out. Doesn't matter who they're playing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and I had this argument with a couple people when I lived in Boston when it was like, oh, you're going to the Flyers Bruins game. That's so expensive. I was like, yeah, but you know, that could be like 5 to 6 Flyers games equivalent if I lived in Philly. And they're like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. And I was like, yeah, you know, math, city difference. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, it's just Jonesy may have made a slip and everybody, you know, just likes to make a big deal about everything. But, you know, they're doing it the right way. And I applaud them for doing it the right way and being honest with the fan base and with the players too. You know, that's what we needed. We don't need a player run team. We need an organizational run team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. It's they're slowly getting back there. And it's got to the point now where even just tonight, my Owen Tippett, same series jersey arrived. And as I'm taking it out of the dryer and Brenna, good old wife, is hanging it up for me so it can air dry. She's like, we have to get back to a game soon so we can wear this and show this off again. Mike, you're absolutely right. Like, there's plenty of games here. Like, let's do it up, because there's, you know, it's not only like we're having fun, the fans are having fun again. And like, it's fun to be doing the podcast again, because I'm sure you guys have addressed this on your podcast. Master, I've addressed it several times on here on 5 Minute Major.
Yep.
The podcast the past couple of years was getting like, oh great, I got to sit down, I got to talk about this goddamn hockey team again.
Right.
And it's like, well, you know, the problems we had from last week, just copy and paste and they're still here. And now every week there's legit criticism to make. Yep. There's overall a good feeling and we have new things to talk about on a routine basis that is making this become fun again. And it's gotten to the point where it's like, okay, I need to get back to the Wells Fargo Center because I need to see this in person again.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I haven't seen the Flyers. No, I saw them play once, and that was the Black Friday game in November where they got shellacked by the freaking Rangers. And now I'm back in the area. If you haven't heard, I'm back in the area. but I can't wait till I can get to a Flyers game. I already have a Flyers jersey with me. Like, that's how stupid I am. I packed a bunch of work stuff and a Flyers jersey.
So what you're saying is that me, you, and Ben need to go to a game as soon as possible. That's what I'm understanding.
Eventually.
Got it.
Yeah. It would be better for a weekend game, but we'll make it work.
Yes.
But I can't wait to go back to a game, because especially in the Wells Fargo Center when this team is playing out of their mind.
In a playoff hunt? It's going to be an unreal atmosphere.
Right. It's going to be unreal. And some bonehead tweeted something a while ago. Was like, wow, this feels like playoffs, and I don't remember it feeling this way in like 10 years or something like that. And I'm like, you're a kid, you don't remember what it felt like that. Like, I remember being at playoff games and being overexcited and being hyped, and a lot of these games have this playoff hype, like that Rangers game last week, that was a playoff game through and through. It was
even the Penguins game Sunday had playoff vibes.
You can say that on your side because I didn't watch the game, but the Rangers game, it was just a very hard-fought, tooth-and-nail playoff type of game. And I was watching it with my father-in-law. I was like, oh my gosh, this is fun to watch. Like, I'm on the edge of my seat, and this team wants to win this game. So I can't wait. I honestly can't wait to get back to Wells Fargo Center.
it's key, and they are doing the right things. They have, you know, definitely as of right now, the grouping of Hilferty, Jonesy and Briere are earning the fans' trust again. And that's the biggest thing. And you know, they've stood by that day one, said, we are going to get you back. And they have definitely reeled us back in. But with that talk there, Hoagie, we have our final topic of the evening. Of course, with the trade deadline being just a week from tomorrow, March 8th, next Friday, the market is starting to be set with some other trades being made. Of course, the big one, the big chip defenseman that was out there was Chris Tanev of the Calgary Flames. He has now been moved to the Dallas Stars in a three-way deal involving, of course, the Flames, the Dallas Stars, and the New Jersey Devils. Of course, the details, obviously, the Stars received Tanev and the rights to a goalie prospect. The Flames are retaining 50% of Tanev's salary. They received the defensive prospect along with the Stars' 2024 second-round pick and a conditional third-round pick in 2026. And then the Devils received a 2026 fourth-round pick for serving as a third-party broker, and they retained 50% of Tanev's salary as well, and this is per ESPN. So a nice little three-way deal there. But I leave this to now the bigger question, how it affects the Flyers. Is the Flyers have an unrestricted free agent defenseman in Sean Walker, who I believe is turning 30 or is turning 31.
Yeah,
the question is, are you trading this asset or are you signing him and keeping him here long-term? Much of the ilk, much of the Flyers fan base and beat writers are saying this is a person you need to trade.
Yeah.
So now that we know that Chris Tanev, who's the more seasoned veteran, who was kind of the big piece at this deadline, was traded for essentially only a couple second and third round picks and some lower tier prospects, how does this affect the Flyers and the market for Walker in any way?
Honestly, I will be surprised if Walker even gets a package, but I'm under the impression that if Danny Briere is not wowed by a team for Sean Walker, he's not going to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
We were under that assumption last year with JVR. You know, nothing wowed them. They kept JVR. A lot of people were pissed.
Because the app didn't give Chuck Fletcher any.
Yeah, the numbers didn't work for Chuck. Good old Chuck Wagon. God damn.
Chucky two trades.
I hate that guy. But I'm under the impression that it's not going to happen if they're not wowed. And it seems to be that case with a lot of these players, honestly. Like, you got to make it worth our while to really – we're playing well. We're in a playoff spot. We really don't need to sell off these teams – or these players, excuse me. And if they get a deal that, you know, really knocks their pants off, they're going to jump at it. And I think – They're holding these players to high standards because they have shown that they can play in the NHL and they can play well. Tanev got a big package because he is that older seasoned veteran. I think he's 4 or 5 years older than Walker. Mm-hmm. And I think Briere is saying, hey, look, this guy came to Philly. No one knew about him in LA. Everybody in Philly was like, who the hell is Sean Walker? And look what he did this year. He played his pants off and has looked good. I would love to get a first rounder for him. I'm not convinced we're gonna get one.
No.
Maybe a second and a prospect. I don't know. I just don't think Briere is gonna be wild. That's all I gotta say. Because first is what they're holding everybody accountable for, and I just don't see anybody saying, hey, Here's my 2024 first or 2025 first. You know, I don't know. That's so I feel.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The fact that Tanev's at the market and he only was acquired for low tier prospects in a second and third round picks
with retained salary too.
Retained salary, there's kind of no way the Flyers are going to get a first round pick back for just Walker by himself. And that being said, Walker's salary is much lower than what Tanev's was. I believe he's only making like $3 million, something like that, a season.
Yeah, it's something easy.
It's a little bit more swallowable, where you're not going to get a you're not going to need to get a third team involved if a deal is made. ideally, like the Flyers, and we all want, all fans want, of course, get us another first round pick. That's huge. But the fact that Tanev went for what he did, the only way I see the Flyers getting first round picks acquired for Walker is if he's traded in tandem and also his defensive partner in Nick Seeler. Thank you, Hoagie. If they get traded in a package together. And there have been a couple teams, Dallas was one of them, who was inquiring about acquiring both of them. Inquiring. There we go. Getting both of them in the same deal. So words are hard. English is hard. I'm a hockey player.
Listen, you know that. Those two together, that's just a tough
inquiring. Tough inquiring. It's a tough sentence.
That's a tough tandem in a sentence.
So it's, if you get both those players in a deal, yeah, you can probably get, you know, a first and a second round pick for both of them.
Right.
But of course, now the Flyers have, you know, rumored they're in talks with Steelers camp about an extension, which, cool. I'm fine with that. You know, maybe the AAV that was mentioned online was a little bit too high. But, you know, Nick Seeler's been a serviceable second pairing defenseman who leads the Flyers, is a league leader in shot blocks. Wouldn't mind having him around for a couple more years. But if you can trade him and get assets, cool, great. Sean Walker, you know, if you can't move him, because Danny Briere, really, this is going to be a deadline that really kind of where he's showing his hand as a general manager is, you know, are these other NHL GMs going to say, try and bully him around, be like, oh, hey, listen, you're the new kid on the block. Come on, throw me a solid here. And I hope that Briere says, you know what? No, I need to do what's best by my hockey team. This is what I think this player is worth. And if you're not going to honor that and give me that, I'm not going to move him.
Yeah.
And so the way I see it is if they aren't wowed and they keep Sean Walker, and if he does walk away in free agency, he's a self-rental. And maybe it helps with the younger defensemen that are here grow, you know, in towards the pipeline, into the march into the playoffs, and then in the playoffs themselves. Of course, then, too, the other shoe is if he's not traded and the Flyers do sign him, you know, obviously an 8-year deal is not what I think any of us would want. But if you can get him like $4 or $5 million for 3 or 4 more years as a nice little bridge until Oliver Bonk gets here, I mean, that's fine too. So we'll see. But it's going to be very, very interesting Friday. And the other thing I hate about Tanev getting traded last night, is that, yeah, that's another deal that you wish would have happened on the trade deadline next Friday, because it's sure looking like next Friday's trade deadline TV specials that are on ESPN and TSN are just going to be nothing burgers like they've been in the past couple of years, because all these teams are getting everything done beforehand. And to stick with Calgary again today, they announced they're not trading their goalie in Jacob Markstrom. And he was going to be the big chip. Now it looks like is UC Saros going to get moved, but Nashville's in the playoff mix again. So it's looking like the one last piece there was to get moved next Friday has been moved, unless the Flyers are active. So it's going to be very, very, very interesting.
Yeah, I think a lot of Flyers fans are expecting the Flyers to be very, 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 very active with the pieces that they have. I think they're happy with where they are. I do not see, everybody knows this, do not see in a world where Captain Scott Laughton gets traded.
I was waiting for you to bring that up.
There's no way.
Unless the Flyers are wowed. If some team comes in saying, hey, we are going to give you 2 first-round picks this year, next year, or even this year's draft for Scott Laughton.
They declined 2 first-round picks last summer for Scott Laughton. Sources.
Yes, and that is well reported. But if some team comes in, if they really wow the Flyers with the deal, I know they do. The Flyers have said we do not want to trade this player, but then also backed up and said, "Hey, listen, if we're wowed and if it makes sense, then we'll do it." I don't see any team offering 2 first round picks for Scott Laughton currently. I mean, he has picked up his play as of late.
He was on a 7 game point streak as of the game before. Tampa. I don't think he got a point in the Tampa game.
He's reverted back to the player he was last year in this recent stretch of games, which is huge. But he's also a very
he's getting more ice time. That's why
It's true. Ideally, I in a perfect lineup, you don't want Scott Laughton on your second line, but in a pinch, he's okay there. Ideally, he's a great third liner. Absolutely. And where you can give him second power play unit time, and he's your number one penalty killer in combination with Coots. That's like the perfect spot for Scott
Laughton. 1-2 punch.
Yeah, and but here's the thing. A player like Scott Laughton, who's getting hot and getting heated, teams will call about him next Friday because there are some teams, especially in the Western Conference, even maybe even in the Eastern Conference, that could use a player like him. Now, I don't. I agree with you, Hoagie. I don't want him to be traded, nor do I think the Flyers will trade him. But you have to be open to any possibility.
I'm not open to any possibility that includes Laughton, especially after they paraded the fact that he was an assistant captain, like that new regime of captaincy with Couturier, Konechny, and Laughton.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to trade him after saying, hey, listen, he's part of this leadership core.
Yeah, he is the new era of orange with these other two. Yep. That's what I took away from it. Some people disagree, but I call bullshit.
I completely agree with you there. And also, I feel like with the whole trading Nick Seeler or Sean Walker aspect, if the Flyers' defense was healthy and if we still had Drysdale and if we still have Risto in the lineup, that makes
things get spicy.
If things get interesting there, because now you have a full lineup where you have almost too much defensemen.
Right.
So you need to subtract here and there.
Yep.
So maybe and if Risto.
That was the problem all along with the Drysdale trade, because we didn't give up an active roster spot. We gave up a prospect.
And they didn't want to waive anybody, because you have a player like Mark Stahl, who, you know, up until recently was having a good analytic and good eye test season. Past couple games, he's definitely struggled. We've all seen it. Hoagie, we know your thoughts on him. I was like, he could be good, but he also could suck. He's been 50-50 this year.
Yeah.
Ideally, he's a player. If someone calls you up and says, hey, listen, I want Mark Stahl, whatever they're offering, you take it.
Oh, absolutely.
If it's a seventh round pick, I don't care. See ya. Thank you very much, Mark Stahl. Thank you for your service. Yep. Go off to this team.
Absolutely.
So ideally, I feel like either side of the Flyers fans camps might be upset with this deadline.
Everybody's going to be upset for no reason.
The people who want the Flyers to sell are going to say the Flyers didn't sell enough. And the people who want the Flyers to make additions to really push for a playoff run are going to be upset because the Flyers aren't going to do that. They're not going to add.
Yeah, absolutely.
If anything, their addition will be keeping the players that they have that are expiring and being these are self-rentals.
Yep.
And we'll deal with losing them for nothing come in the offseason.
Absolutely.
Or maybe 100%. Work on a negotiation before the draft when there's that brief little window up before free agency starts. But that's kind of where I think things are leaning. The Flyers are probably going to stay pat. They're going to trade away some minor pieces, get minor assets back. But I think they're going to probably do a self-rental type of deal to finish off this season.
And I know people are going to don't agree with this, but it's okay for them to stand pat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they've got nothing to lose playing with house money with what this team is. But yes, you know, they were supposed to be a lottery team, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter. House money, roll with it.
Yeah, and come the draft time, I mean,
we have two first-round picks this year, right?
Yep, we've got ours.
Florida's
and
ours.
Florida's essentially is a second-round pick because it's going to be probably pick, you know, from 20 to 32.
At this point, doesn't matter.
No, it's still something that, you know, even that itself is trade bait.
Right.
You can make that and move it. You can use that to trade up in the draft. You can use it to acquire another piece or bring value back. It's still very important. They do have some second and some third round picks this year. So it's the end of this season and the draft upcoming are very, very important. And overall, this is an excellent start to the rebuild of getting the Flyers back where they need to be.
Absolutely.
So with that, Hoagie, that's all I had for us to talk about on the docket this evening. So with that, normally this is where I would give my little shout-out segment, you know, thanking, of course, our affiliates, of course, our newest affiliates, the Pheps Sport Blog, and our good friend Rocco Romeo, of course, esteemed member of Dump and Change Ice Hockey Club as well. Check out their blogs, what they're writing, pumping out excellent content. If you want to write for them, contact Rocco. He'll be able to get you in touch with them. But, of course, since you're on the podcast this week, Hoagie, I will let you give the shout-out to the good boys of the Pod Street Bullies.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, Derek could not join us tonight. The kid stayed awake for him.
Children, man.
So you can find me on the Twitter bird app thing at Pod Street Hoax. You can find all of us at Pod Street Boys. That's Pod ST Boys. Not sure why it's not spelled out, but you have Pod Street Casey and Pod Street Bob, Matt Casey, Derek Bob, and then Twitter list go. You can't follow him.
Yeah, John. I feel like John has like an on again off again relationship with
he's weird. I don't know what it's about. He's like, I like it, and then he's like, everybody sucks, and I'm just done with that one.
but we'll
have another probably pre-draft episode, or not pre-draft, excuse me, pre-trade deadline recap on Sunday night. So tune in and we'll be ready to rock.
Yeah, like I always say to all of our listeners here, 5 Minute Major, if you like, of course, what Master normally do, if you're not listening to Pod Street Bullies yet, get on it, because they are pumping out excellent weekly content. And now I'm going to steal something, Matt, that you used to do on Pod Street Bullies that I haven't heard you do in a while. I have a dad joke for you.
Oh, yes. I have not done one in a while. I might have to do one this weekend, actually.
So maybe I'm providing some inspiration for you here.
Maybe.
You might have heard this one, but I saw it recently and I got some good chuckles out of it. What color is the wind?
Blue.
You are correct, sir. You might have heard that one before.
I don't know if I have, but I
do. You were like a dad joke mine, astute. Oh,
always.
Yes.
Always so, on the break.
The color of the wind is blue, and I can hear the cringe from the listeners. So with that, that's going to wrap up this week's episode of 5 Minute Major. Thank you again, Hoagie, for hopping on.
Absolutely. Master, thanks for having me.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. We have to do more crossover stuff because it's going to help build both brands here.
But, I know. We always talk about it, but we always fall short.
Because we're always so goddamn busy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, mm-hmm. I look at my phone calendar and I'm like, when am I going to have time to record this week? Because there's always something on the docket.
Right. Yep.
But with that, Master and I will be back next week for our duo podcast, probably right before the trade deadline. So we'll kind of do a preview episode as well, what you guys are doing. And then, of course, we will all be reacting after next Friday. But with that, everyone, good night, good hockey, and let's go Flyers.